Hello everyone, you're listening to Mostar FM 89.6. You listen to us maybe in FM radio, maybe on your favorite podcast platform. So you can always find us, just Google Mostar FM or Mostar has ESC. So you can check our other episodes. Because today's topic is, shall we try it before we buy it? I'm Nata and with me in studio are Maria and Nadia. Hello girls.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm really happy to be here. It's my first experience.
I'm happy to hear that. And also the weather is just perfect. It's almost spring. So welcome to our studio and welcome to our podcast, dear listeners. Let's start to discuss the question. Shall we try it before we buy it? It may sound as if it's only about buying stuff, but I would like to discuss today many, many different things for which better version can be useful. But okay, let's start with buying stuff. Do you in general think that before buying, you need to know something about the product you're buying?
For example, when I'm going to the shop for, I don't know, fruits, I'm smelling fruits. I smell fruits before I buy fruits. Because if fruits doesn't smell, it's not fruit, you know?
Do you smell them as well? Or like, do you touch them as well?
Of course, because if I would not touch it, I would look strange in the shop.
Actually, it may seem funny that we started to discuss this, but it makes sense. For example, I smell bread, even though there is like a plastic package, because if bread doesn't smell, it's not bread.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, can you smell it through the plastic?
If you can, then it's a good bread.
Uh-huh.
Or okay. It's a bad plastic.
Maybe it's too thin. Then what?
But I'm not buying plastic.
I'm the weird one because I don't smell anything, I think. But I just look. And if it looks good, I will buy it. If not, no.
You're just from Spain. Probably there is no problem with fruits.
Yeah. Maybe in Hungary I have to be more careful. Yeah. But in Spain I don't need to.
But do you check the expiration date and maybe the contents of the product?
The context, no. I look for the expiration date, yes, because I need to organize myself and I need to be like, okay, I will eat this today, eat this tomorrow, and so on.
But if you choose only beautiful fruits, your life looks really aesthetic. But is it tasty?
I don't know how far I should go, but if it's beautiful, it could be tasty probably, so yeah.
Don't judge the book by its cover.
I mean, yeah, it can be that it looks beautiful and then it's not good. But I mean, I guess it depends then. Then I would have to use your tricks of smelling and touching and doing other things.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. But yeah, the more I know, the more calm I will be when I buy it. Because I really don't want to be dissatisfied after buying. I really don't like it. I think no one enjoys it. But when you buy online, you cannot see or you cannot touch and you cannot smell. How often do you buy food online?
I've never done it.
Also not, no.
And why you don't do it? Because you cannot try it before or there are other reasons?
Usually someone do it. I mean, around me. If I want to eat. Sorry. I mean, I don't really like this kind of apps where you can order something. I mean, I don't understand what should I do there. How should I choose anything like shoes, clothes, food? So, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I've never done it because, I don't know, I always go to the supermarket. I don't even think about ordering that much food online. If it was just like one thing, maybe. But if it's like my whole groceries basket, then it's like, no, I just go and get it. And I think in Spain, it would probably be more expensive to order everything than to just go to the supermarket.
I lied. I did it a few times when I was living in St. Petersburg because we had the Samokat scooter. So yeah, it's the name of the shop, online shop with the food. It was scooter. And they had great bakery. They had their own bakery and croissants, like the best croissants ever. So I always ordered their croissants because from the beginning someone recommended me to try. And because I had a recommendation from someone, I was sure that it can be good. And in this way, yes, I was ready to order.
Okay, because it's still risky, so to buy bakery from online only because you knew that someone else recommended. Okay, frankly speaking, we quite often with my family we order food because sometimes it's just too much to hold when you take it home without a car, so we just order food. But one moment I remember we ordered 2 small pumpkins, 2 plus 2 kilos, but instead of 2 they sent us 1 really huge one, and it was inconvenient.
I mean, yeah, it's too big. Where did you put it?
I mean, when you start it, you cannot leave it for long, but you can leave like closed pumpkin for longer. So it was a problem. That's one of the problems which can arise in online shopping. And do you have any funny stories with online shopping of clothes?
I wanted to say about pumpkin that if you can't eat it, you can cut it as for Halloween or, I don't know, just as a part of your interior. If you can't eat it, what should you do with this? Not to throw it out.
Of course, but it would not happen if we just went and like touch pumpkins in a shop and stuff.
Life is not obvious.
So tell me, have you ever ordered maybe clothes from AliExpress and stuff like that?
No, I did not.
I think I have not. Like, my sister has a bunch of times, but for me, I don't think so. Like, the only funny stories that she has is, like, ordering something and then it's not the size that she wanted. It's smaller or bigger, but it's not that funny. I mean, it's just what happens.
Yeah, I have the same situation. I have an older sister, and when it does not fit to her, something that she bought from online shopping, it starts to be mine. So, I mean, I enjoy it because I have something that I did not buy and I should not choose it or do it to press like these buttons, but I have clothes. In this case, yes, I like it, but I would not do it by my own because I can have the same situation that it will not fit to me and I will give it to someone.
What about you, Nata?
I think, yeah, just I ordered a bit from AliExpress and I remember that my shoes were not the same size because Chinese count really weirdly, but so I just could not wear them. And I understand that for me, online shopping is not an option.
It's always kind of jokes about expectations and reality for Chinese products.
Yeah, maybe this should be the title of the podcast, Expectations versus Reality. What you think you're going to get versus what you get.
Let's switch to restaurants. For example, when you check the menu of a restaurant you've never been before, do you like when there are pictures or you can just read the names of the dish and its contents and decide what you want or what other sources you are gonna use as criteria for your decision?
I prefer looking at the pictures. Like, I can read, but it can be anything. Like, my mind can create anything. So I just rather like see the picture. And then, like, I will be more sure because if it looks tasty, then I will, like, order it. So, yeah, in this case, I prefer to know the information before I'm actually going to eat it.
Are you a visual person?
I don't know, am I?
I mean, there are tests when you understand, are you better learning from your eyes, your ears, or maybe from, like, kinesthetics or from practice? You've never done?
No, I've never done this quiz.
Because it's the second time you mentioned checking something on your eye and you really trust your eyes, so
then I guess, yes, I am a visual person. Yeah.
But I agree that it's better to have pictures on the menu. What about you, Nader?
Yeah, I feel totally lost if I don't have pictures in the menu. And also, if I'm hungry at the same time when I go into the restaurant, these letters just dancing and I don't understand anything. And in this case, I usually just call in the worker of the place and I ask what they can recommend to me. And they like, okay, maybe this, and they say a name. And they like, do you want me to show it to you in the menu? I'm like, no, just bring it. So, yeah, because people who work in the place, probably they... Yeah, of course, everybody has different kind of tastes, but they know what something about quality of their products.
I think in Hungary, like, this has happened to me, like, it's even more difficult because I don't understand the language. I cannot read. Like, I only know a few ingredients or, like, a few types of food in Hungarian. So if there aren't any pictures and I just have to, like, translate everything, it's a lottery. Like, it could be anything.
Okay, so the question for today's point of view could have been, shall we know anything about the product before we buy it?
I mean, I think it's similar, but if we don't know it, then it's just like, yeah, you come in blind. You can hate it or love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and from what Nadia was talking about, I understood that, like, trying something before buying is not the only criteria. Sometimes you rely on other people's opinions.
More. Of course, because, for example, I have not tried it yet, but someone tried it yet. And, you know, people with totally different tastes, of course, doesn't work. For example, about movies, it's always risky. If someone recommends you a movie, you should not trust to it. Because, for example, you like actions and someone likes, I don't know, horror. But in some questions, I think I trust to people's opinion.
Nata, do you trust people?
I prefer trust my own experience than people. But if I don't have, like, anything, then I will. For example, now I'm asking people who've been to Budapest more than me to recommend me places because I don't want to search for them alone. But I know that some people, for example, are richer than me and they tell me, oh, this restaurant is super cool. But then I go and the prices are too high for me. So it's a bad recommendation.
For you, yeah?
Yeah. But what was mentioned is that different kinds of stuff depend. For some products, we can rely on others. And for others, we cannot rely on others. And it's interesting that you mentioned movies. Do you just go for cinema and watch movies, or where do you get information whether it's worth it?
For me, it's different. Like, if I go to the cinema versus if I watch it at home, I do different things. For example, if I go to the cinema, I check out the premise of the film before I go, because if I'm going to pay money, I need to know that the film is going to be to my taste, or at least a little bit, or if someone recommends me the movie. But if I'm watching it at home, let's say that I'm paying for a platform online, then sometimes I just see like the picture and the title and I just go in without checking anything.
So it depends whether you're going to pay much or not. If not, it cannot be okay to be dissatisfied.
I mean, yeah, when you're paying money, like, you usually make sure that you're going to like the place. For example, I mean, we can talk about this later, but like when you go to a hotel, you need to make sure that it's going to be good, because if not, you're paying money for a place that you're not going to enjoy.
Nadia, do you read premise or maybe you watch trailers before you go to cinema?
Never.
Why?
Because if I read, I already know the story.
Mm-hmm.
And if I watch trailer, I already saw the best moments of the movie. What is the point?
Well, from you really radical points of view to...
What do you mean? It's not that radical, I think.
No,
I need to know more or less what the movie is about. But also, like as she said, the trailer, it spoils everything.
Oh, so you don't watch.
I agree with that. No, I read two lines of what the movie is about.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is about two people who go to one island and then have trouble. That's it. That's what I read.
And you don't finish description?
No, because usually I look for descriptions that are short. So, yeah.
I'm going to watch a movie, not read a book.
Yes. But I mean, if you look on IMDb, for example, the description is short. Now, if you go to Wikipedia, you can see the whole plot. I don't go to Wikipedia.
Oh my God, that would be crazy. Because really, I don't ever read premise or I never watch trailers. Yeah, because it spoils everything and I don't know. But on the other hand, I don't know what to rely on. Because on any website, usually there is main picture, title, this description, trailer, maybe country. Okay, sometimes country tells a lot.
Mm. Yeah, if it's a French movie, I won't like it, probably.
Okay, I would say vice versa, but it's your opinion. Yeah, sometimes I rely on country, maybe on main picture, but lately all the main pictures of movies are the same. Please tell me that you agree.
What do you mean the main picture is the same?
I mean, whatever movie you're gonna watch, there will be main character and other characters standing, like, crossing their hands, one shoulder closer.
The poster, you mean?
Yeah.
Ah, the poster. Ah, okay.
You should try some old Russian movies there or something else.
Okay, I will. Especially if you have recommendations.
Yes, I also want old Russian movies.
Sure, in personal. Later, probably. I wanted to say about promo and about posters that as a graphic designer, I understand that if I would have these tasks, of course, I will cut the best parts for promo, like the most exciting parts of the video, and put it as fast as possible. And the person like, oh, wow, it's something interesting. And in the end, usually if I look the promo before, at the end, I'm disappointed because there is nothing else inside of the movie if it's not so quality movie. And about posters, yeah, I think you just should try maybe another genre when you choose the movie.
Maybe you're just seeing Marvel posters everywhere and you're thinking that they're the same. I don't know what's going through your mind.
But they are the same.
Marvel fans, please don't come for her. Like, I know it's too controversial. But Nata, don't you have a friend who you would like listen to if they say, oh, I think this movie is good? Or there is absolutely no one you would listen to?
Well, there are some friends you're more close or less close to. But I think that I would not go to listen to my closest friends. I would go to listen to the friends we have similar tastes in movies. They can be almost strangers for me, but if I see that our tastes are similar, I would ask. And then I will try to watch what they suggest.
But how you can know about it?
So we can discuss what we already watched and what we liked. And if there are many things same for both, then yeah.
It could be difficult if you live in different countries and you know different kind of movies. Or, for example, I had a situation when we were playing the game when you need to show names, but in the body language. And we were playing about movies. And I asked people who needed to give me a name to find it in the Google, because probably I saw this movie in translations. And even the title can be different. So, yeah.
So, yeah, many problems can arise on this way. And for example, if you don't read explanation of film before you watch the film, do you read like the last page of a book?
The last page?
No, I mean the page.
Or the blurb.
Yeah, the blurb. I just didn't know the name, but the page where they give you a short summary, like for those who are thinking whether they should read the book or not. Do you read this?
The blurb usually, yes. The last page of a book, I never do. I know people who that's the first thing they do. I don't know if they want to spoil themselves or just, but they read like the last line of the book and I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Wow, that's really crazy. But okay, there are writers who start their book with the end of the story. Mm. Okay, that was done on purpose, but if you are reading the book, you should go from page to page. And I wanted to ask, how is it different? You said that you don't read long descriptions of films. But you read the blurb of a book. How is it different?
It's very different because the blurb of a book doesn't tell you the ending. It just tells you like the context and like what people think of the book, usually. But it doesn't say, yeah, so she goes there and then she almost dies and then the killer comes. No, you don't see that. But in the trailer, you can see that.
Yeah. Do you read the blurb then?
I usually rely on rating also about movies and about books. Because you can find it easy in the internet and you can see the amount of stars. That's all.
Yeah, but who put the stars? Normal people, ordinary people. I don't trust ordinary people.
And then who do you trust? Like, not that this is the question of this podcast. Who would be the person that you would say, okay, I would read the book because no one is up to your standards?
No one can. Okay, films and maybe anime shows, TV shows, people can suggest and it's not so like waste of energy if I try and I don't like it. It's okay. But book, no, you need to like read the letters and the words. So I will not trust anyone. I just open the book.
Do you know that there is a rule about 31st pages of the book? If you don't like 31st pages, don't waste your time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah, because sometimes for me, it's not only the plot which is important. And not only like the setting and main character, his or her opinion and stuff. Sometimes like just the way that the author writes is important.
Yeah, the writing style, yeah.
Yeah, but on the blurb, I think it's not the author who writes it. Probably not.
It could be, or it could be the marketing person.
Yeah, so maybe better to check how the author is writing, because some authors were just not good for me at all.
I wanted to say that, so why should you choose only something that probably you would like? Because if you will trust the people that recommend you something, you can have new experience and you can expire your point of view. You can know something new or know something new about yourself. Because it's always experience. And if you will know more about the topic or a field that you're really interested in, it's also nice. So, or it's experience, or you enjoy it. you wouldn't lose anyway.
Maybe movies I will watch even if I don't like. But someone told me, please finish the movie, then we can discuss. Because anyway, yeah, okay, movie is not so difficult to watch even if I'm not enjoying much. But books, no.
It just got so deep. Now, I wanted to ask a question that I just came up with because I think it's funny and to see your guys' responses. But like, Nata, like, I'm curious about this. So, you know this marketing strategy where they put like a book, but it's wrapped like it was a present. So you don't see the cover, you don't see the blurb, you don't know what the book is about, you know nothing. Would you buy that book?
Yes.
But what do you know, actually? Only like the size approximately, and nothing is written on this, right?
Nothing. It's just like wrapping paper. That's it.
No, usually there is short description.
Sometimes I think it's even like blank, just a ribbon and that's it. But I don't know. Sometimes it's like, yeah, it's a secret book. Read it or whatever.
Okay, from library, I would take it, but I don't buy books. That's what I needed to tell in the beginning, because even if I know that someone recommended and the book is beautiful and the author is good, the style is fine, the blurb is tempting, I will not buy the book, because like after 31 page, I can realize that I don't like, and then like I don't need this book and I don't reread books I liked. So I don't buy books anyway, if it's like fiction.
But wouldn't you buy a book because it's pretty to just have it on your cupboard or something?
I do it with a vinyl because it's cheaper than books. But and also in my room right now, I have not usual shelves. It's like zigzag. Mm. So I can put there only something in the shape of the square that can fit to it. So I prefer vinyl.
Okay, so there are two really aesthetic people.
Is it the no, she sounds more aesthetically pleasing than me. Yeah,
I don't have a machine for it. It's just for room.
Wow.
No, I will not do this. I bought a few books which I really enjoyed, and like the cover is beautiful. I bought such books, but then I regret because I cannot read them. I cannot do anything with them. Okay, but from library, I would take the book without anything, because home, I open it, I check it, and they print it back. Would you, Maria?
I mean, yeah, but, like, you have some type of issues. Like, I don't understand. Like, we're not going to talk about it today, but
I have control issues, I guess.
Control issues. Commitment issues as well.
In St. Petersburg, we organized a book swap a few times in the university. And so if you have books, you bought it or you did not buy it, doesn't matter. You already read it and you can give it to someone who did not. And in this case, you don't spend your money, you just clean your space. And you also can take something that you like. And sometimes we did this thing with a cover in the book and it was really interesting. It was really nice. So I prefer this kind of stuff because it's always more feelings somehow, because you don't really think how you're choosing. You just choose and you have it and you didn't know what is it. So you're like surprising anyway, or in a good way or in a bad way, but you have more feelings.
Yeah, wow. She's very adventurous. Yeah.
Well, I don't understand this. I have still a bunch of questions. So let's proceed. For example, when you're thinking of buying a course, maybe some learning stuff, maybe online course, would you try a free lesson before it? before buying to check why?
Because maybe I don't like it. I mean, I haven't done many courses, but like, for example, like going to an English academy to learn English, if I don't like the teacher, then I won't like probably what he's going to teach me. So I am very picky with that.
I would say that usually right now, from Corona time, when people do their own courses, they sell in by one, the first free one. And anyway, you can find it from the targeting marketing when you see the first free one. And of course, when you watch this free one, they said, oh, our course is so nice, it's the best one. And they kind of like motivating you and stuff. And of course you want to buy. But I bought only two courses in my life. And for the second one, I was trying to return money after the year because I did not open it.
But if there is no free trial lesson and you're interested what the course can be about, what would you do?
I usually try to find the same one, but being free.
How often do you manage?
I don't know. Like the one I'm doing now is free. It's not that good, but there are a few free ones. And then if I feel like spending my money, I will. But I don't really like spending money on things that I don't know if I'm going to like or not.
Same, same. That's what is the podcast about. And then you're surprised about my attitude.
No, because she's saying like, yeah, I want to be surprised. And you're like, I don't understand. I don't understand.
See, we're all different.
And this is point of view.
It's so good that we gathered here all together today. Would you try to learn more information about the country you're going to move in? Or you want to first go there for a weekend and like see how it's going and then you will move there completely?
Yeah, just open on the Google Maps and see the rating there.
Rating of what?
Of the country.
Yeah, being like, okay, Hungary, 4 stars. Okay, I will go.
Probably for Hungary, it's not 4 stars.
No, but I mean, we cannot say a lot of bad stuff.
6 out of 5.
I should have known. I should have done that before coming to Hungary, probably. I mean, it doesn't affect me really the way the country is because I am here for the project. And if I like the project, then the country for me doesn't matter. But I would have liked to know more. I mean, I did my research, but it was not that deep. Like, I didn't look cuisine, I didn't look how difficult. I mean, I knew Hungarian was difficult, but, like, I got Duolingo for one day before I left, and I didn't touch it anymore. So, yeah, I think before moving to a country for good, not for a year, but for good, you should research.
Mm-hmm. I would say that I just put in the Google, like, what is this country about when I got a visa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But probably I should do it before.
Yeah, why didn't you? You were not sure you will get the visa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the point. I mean, I was accepted to the volunteering program and it was already enough to start the process, the document process, because it takes a lot of time. And I did not check it with the question, should I go there or not? I checked it like, what kind of food do they have? And also when I got a visa, it's a funny story. When I got a visa, there was a terrible photo where my face was a circle. And I was trying to find the national Hungarian cookies that look like a circle. And it's kurkus kalács. To joke about that I look like kurkus kalács in my Hungarian visa.
Okay, I see. The question, actually, I had a separate question about AC. How did you choose it? And would you like to have a trial before? But before we go, I would like to say that when I understand that I'm going to be in Nyíregyháza. I searched for it on Google Maps, as you did. But like everything I saw was like a few pictures of like festivals, some museums, some like smiling people, like at random place, telling nothing about actually the city.
They lied to you.
What about Red Church?
Yeah, sure. I saw the Red Church, but I didn't know that it will be the place. And then our coordinator asked me if I like searched for information about Nyíregyháza, about our organization. And I told him that, yeah, I checked. I saw that it's a cultural city and I saw some smiling people. So for me, it was enough to just go for it. But it was just stupid from me.
I think I lied to him when he asked me that. Like, I don't remember what I said, but yeah, I probably lied.
So how did you choose your volunteering?
Because of the project. Okay. Yeah, I already told you.
But you could not have like an internship before or like one day to try the job. What if you wouldn't like your job in ESC? Tell us your story.
I was going to my project to be a project manager of podcasts. And when I came, I discovered that we don't have any projects about podcasts anymore. And I will not be a project manager. I will be a graphic designer.
How did you feel about that?
I mean, I was working as a graphic designer before, and it's not a problem for me. I just did it for money, and here I do it without money. This is a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but if to set the situation closer to our today's topic, so you just changed the country, you changed everything in your life, not knowing what you're going to do. How did you feel the moment? Did you want to actually try before you go?
For me in this case, no, because I knew what I was going to do. Like, it was radio and I have done radio before. So it wasn't that different. Like, I didn't think it was going to be something that I had to try out because I already knew what I was getting myself into.
But it's only the main thing. But what if, didn't you have thoughts like, what if my boss is such kind of person that we will not get on? Or what if my colleagues will be bad people? Or what if I will not like my office, the interior design of my office? I should first see my office and my flat. I need to first see everything and then I decide, no?
I mean, I ask, like, how many rooms am I going to have? Like, am I going to have a separate room? But, like, there are bad people everywhere. Like, in Spain, here, like, it could be a good boss or bad boss, but it could be anywhere. So I'm just prepared for it. Because I've lived also with other roommates before, and there were really funny stories. And sometimes they were good, sometimes they were bad. So when I came here, I was like, my roommate, I know her already, so it's not going to be that bad. And I'm ready for, I mean, I knew, so I had that information before I came here, mm-hmm. of at least one person, so I did feel more secure.
For me, I would not try it before, because probably if I would try it, I wouldn't go. Not because I have a bad experience. I have an experience, and my goal was to move from the country, so I needed to have an agreement to get a visa. And in this case, I didn't care what kind of country would it be. And also, there was a question, like, I applied for several amount of programs and I was waiting for response. But if one is respond already and they accepted you, or you kind of like have something, maybe not the best option in your top list, mm-hmm. but you have it already and they waiting for you. And it's a choice like kot v mishke, like cat in the, what, in the bag. So yeah. you don't know also, will another programs answer to you or not? Will they accept you or not? And I had this situation. I had a program in Malta and in London, in UK. And I really wanted to go to UK. But I knew that I can lost everything. In this case, I chose Hungarian because they were faster than others. But also they were kind of random. And already during the chat with my organization, I noticed that they are really random. So I knew that probably when I will come, it will be the same, but in real life. And I will need to manage this. And yeah, I was right.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you mentioned a Russian saying, kot v mishke, yeah, like a cat in a bag. That's what we are saying when you're buying something not knowing enough. Actually, this the existence of this saying was one of the reasons for me to think of this podcast, because we say that you are buying a cat in a bag. It means that you are buying something, you don't have enough information, and after, you cannot return your money and you just need to keep up what you have.
You need so, to feed the cat.
It usually stresses me out, such situations, so I just prefer to know everything about the product. That's why we are here. Another question, when you entered university, have you gone to an open doors day before to see the building, to see maybe your teachers, maybe other students?
In Spain, that doesn't exist. So I'll just say that and I will go slowly.
Wow.
So I organized these kind of events in my university. And when you organize these kind of events, you do everything for students, that like your potential future students. It should look fancy. It mm-hmm. should look really good. in real life, probably it would not be like this. I mean, something will be good, something will be bad, as everywhere. And also, I was the person who should answer the questions. And I was trying to be honest, but sometimes... So you should understand, like, what is your goal of this event? And if you're responsible for have more people in your university, you should concentrate only on the good things and kind of, like, close eyes and not tell everything to them. They will know it anyway if they will come again to apply the documents. So I don't really, as a person who did it, I don't really trust to these kind of events.
I very much disagree with you. When I was choosing between two universities, I went to both of them. And actually, like, this was the final stuff which helped me to choose between them. Frankly speaking, for me, the building itself was important, that it's not too old and it's not too ugly. And this was an opportunity to be inside the building and, like, to see, like, the atmosphere, the aura of the building, the walls, if you wish, the stairs, and also, like, toilets.
Are you a visual person, Natasha?
No, but for me, it's important to where I am. So I checked and I liked one of the buildings better. So I went to this, yeah, because of the Open Doors Day.
So you're basing your education on the building?
Partially, yes.
I think it's really important because building of my university was so sad. It was so big, gray, and ugly, and I needed to go there every day.
But were the teachers good? Like, were the lessons good or?
Partly.
Okay, then okay.
It's another topic.
It's another topic. For me, I saw my university when I applied. Because in Spain, you put your order of, like, your wish list, let's say. Like, you say, I want to be a journalist in Malaga, a journalist in Granada, and then study this there, and then they choose you. Like, if you get your first option, your second, there's nothing like going to the campus and seeing the people or meeting the teachers, no. You know, if you ask people that you know, like, oh, you went to this university, what do you think? But I knew nothing. And when I arrived, my faculty building was kind of quirky. It had, like, paintings on the wall, like, saying, oh, I don't have bags under my eyes. They're just ideas and things like that. And, like, yeah, things to lie down. And, yeah, it was a very, like, hippie university. Mm-hmm. But the teachers, it was something that I learned when I was going. And I didn't know the lessons. I didn't know until I, like, enrolled.
Mm-hmm. I see. Frankly speaking, for me, it was a bit of stress not to know how Musterhaus looked like before.
You have pictures on Google.
Well, I didn't search enough.
Mm.
Before we go to the juiciest part of our podcast, and the topic is, shall we try it before we buy it? I want to ask you if you are buying video games, and do you need, or maybe you just upload video games for your phone, and before it, do you check the trial version of the game, the demo version, or you just rely on the name and pictures?
I don't play games. I think that my life looks like the most risky and interesting and complicated game, so it's enough for me.
I'm shooketh to my core. Okay, so for me, I will say that it depends on the, like, if it's phone or laptop. If it's phone, I usually, maybe I see a commercial, and then I see a little bit what the game is about, and then I download it. But usually with PC games, it's because I've watched someone playing it online.
Hmm.
And then I've seen them play, like, I don't know, it could be the game itself, like the whole thing, or like maybe one chapter or one part. And then I'm like, ooh, I would love to play this. And then I go and play it.
Yeah, actually, it is the closest to experience you will have when you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this question actually got to our list of questions because of the other colleague who wanted to join our podcast, but he's not today with us, unfortunately. So we're going to a juicy stuff because we want to discuss more juicy stuff. And the question is, so imagine you are going to have a boyfriend and maybe you're going to live together. Maybe you're going to marry. So do you think that before marriage, it is reasonable to, like, try out each other, maybe to live together for some time?
It depends on the kind of marriage.
The kind of marriage? Elaborate.
Well, there is some kind of marriages. For example, you live in different countries. I have a friend who have a guest marriage format. So he lives in Ukraine and she lives in France. And they visit each other sometimes, but they don't live together. And in this case, probably you can just leave it like this. You shouldn't try it before, because it wouldn't be a difference when you, because you don't need to live together, you know? So, but if you want to live together, probably, yes, you should try it before. But it also depends on the, like, for how long should you live together to understand that it's going well? Because it can go well and then not go well anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but let's go first. Before we move in together, let's do you need to live with someone before you marry that person? In a traditional marriage, we're not talking about like moving countries, like a relationship that both people are in the same place. Do you need to live with that person before you get married and then live with them, or no?
For me, it's only one answer, yes. And a question, for how long do you think? So for me, it's not a question, should you or not? For me, the question is, how long should you try it?
Okay, I'm gonna also say my opinion about this. First, I will say that for me it's yes, but it's controversial that, like, from our parents and their parents' generation, it is, like, expected that we will not. So I know a friend of mine, she's older than me and now she is in marriage, but before they married, they lived together, but her grandmother was so scared, so this girl had to lie to her grandmother that she's not living with this guy.
Scared of what?
Scared that she's out of marriage living with someone and he will just left her with two babies.
I am Spanish. Always remember that. Okay, so you need to explain to me these things. For me, I would say, before going to how long, for me it's a yes if I'm going to live with that person after. If I'm not, then we are both in our different flats. We are married or whatever and we can live in our different flats. But if we're going to live together, I need to know, because maybe I don't like the way they do certain things. Mm-hmm. Like maybe I find them annoying and I'm like, I cannot live with you. Like, you're a good significant other, but you're not a good roommate. So yeah, I would need to have that experience. And for me, how long? I think it should be until you can see all their flaws. Like, when you see what they do, how they behave every day, and then you have all the information you need, that's how long for me you need to know.
For how long is it for you? How do you think?
I mean, I've never done it. I've never gotten married, so I don't know, but I feel like 3 months is enough.
3 months?
In 3 months, I think you should be able to know the person if you live with them, no? Okay, maybe 5. Okay, you're looking at me, so maybe 5.
And by living with them, you mean living with them alone? Like, not yes. In their family's house.
No, that's completely different.
Please no.
Please no. That's completely different, because they will not behave the same way at all. If their mom is cooking for them, it's not going to be the same as if you are alone in a flat. So who's going to cook? Who's going to wash the dishes? Who's going to do everything? So yeah, for me, it's different.
Mm-hmm. For me, well, I don't know, but I can think, because I was thinking to get married and I was thinking to live before together, but we spend like sometimes weekends, sometimes like stuff like that. So I a bit watched how he's cooking, how he's like cleaning, but it was not day-to-day routine. So of course it was like really idealized version of a person in the household, really, because we can clean before we meet and then we just enjoy the time without like tiredness after work and clinging and doing dishes, even, because you can do it after the person leaves. So for me, you need to leave maybe, yeah, like I would say 2 weeks at least, if you just don't have time, but just to see how it's going. But just being guest in this person's house and vice versa will not work, because you can lie.
And how long should you try this person until you know that they are the one?
Well, I'm thinking about it, and I think that why did I ask, like, for how long? Because the first time when you live together and you're really crazy about each other, it's not the same as after some amount of time. And probably this kind of, like, trying can be really nice, but then not the same. And also I wanted to say that, like, every couple has a crisis at one point, and yeah, if it would be too early, you can change your mind about marriage.
Okay, so I meant like 3 months, but not right when you get with that person. So you've been in a relationship for a while and then you decide to live together for 3 months. So you can be together for 2 years. Not because like the honeymoon phase, like, yeah, you're crazy about each other, but also like if you see something that annoys you, you will say it. Even if you're crazy about each other, you will say like, honey, if you leave the plates out again, I will go and do something bad to you.
Yeah, I wanted to say that, like, for example, you already passed the honeymoon and you already kind of like trying to fit to each other inside of the flat, like as a couple. But for example, something is annoying. What would you do? Like, is it a question to break up with the person? Because, for example, he doesn't wash dishes after he eats it? Or is it a question, how should we manage this question to feel comfortable, both of us?
It's your time.
Why?
I know you know the correct answer.
The correct? Me? Go first and then I can go.
Well, like, it's really good question for me. Because I know a lot about being irritated at some smaller things about the person. And I tried pretty much everything. I told him some things he changed, some things he didn't. For some things he was telling me that, like, you cannot ask me to change myself completely because it will not be me. Don't you enjoy, like, real me? So, like, it's always you don't know where is the border between what is respect toward each other and what is trying to change other person's personality.
Well, that sounds like gaslighting to me. Because it's like, what part of your personality tells you not to clean the dishes? I don't know. I don't know the situation. For me, it's funny. I feel like you can talk to your partner in an assertive way. You can just say, I don't like when you do this. I would feel better if you did this. And then I feel like the problem would be more or less gone. That should be...
If it's not a part of his personality.
If it's not a part of his personality, yeah. I don't know. I'm curious now about what part of his personality it is, because it's like, yeah, it's funny.
Not making up dishes, but some other stuff when you don't know. So the way he speaks, the way he behaves.
More. Give me more.
We need a context.
Yes. We need a situation. Create one.
So, for example, it irritates me when people are speaking normal conversation, but they all the time use filled pauses like eh, and however much I struggle to make them not, they still do it.
Okay, that's your problem. Yeah, that's you and you alone. Yeah, so, okay, I'm sorry, guy. Like, I judged you before meeting you, but yeah, it is your problem. Because, like, the way he speaks, like, if he finds it a problem, then he will eventually solve it. But if not, then... Like, if you're annoyed, then you should be like, okay, I cannot get this anymore. Like, I will just leave you.
For me, it seemed like you had a huge cultural hole between each other.
Can we not discuss concrete cases, but okay. Like in general?
Okay. But this is like also funny to me, like culture. Like, would you try being with someone from a different culture before knowing the culture?
Ooh. Ooh. Be with someone from the country that I want to go to check the country from inside? Or what do you mean? Sorry.
I mean, yeah, like culture itself. I mean, it could be the country, but if you're going to live somewhere else, maybe like traditions or maybe something that the person is going to do because it's their tradition. For example, I'm Spanish and I'm not used to taking my shoes out when I get inside. And the Russians have been yelling at me this whole year. So, for example, that's one thing. So should you know these type of things before you get into a relationship with someone from a different culture?
I think it's kind of like natural things that coming up during the conversations and situations.
Maybe, but I think a lot of things will not just easily go out during small talks and even, okay, deep conversations. For example, just because of our upbringing, we see world a bit differently. And so there are cultures where, for example, genders are almost equal, while in other cultures, like, there is a special place in the family for men, and there is special place for women. And like, okay, they can tell you that, yes, I respect you, yes, you can work. So they can be modern and European, but at the same time, they still remember from childhood that you're still like above your woman, and you still should decide more, and you still should protect her more than she protects you and stuff. So I think, yeah, it's wise think before you go to such relationships, it was studied and also discuss it. So even if they say that they are not so like patriarchal, still they can say one thing and do another thing, like subconsciously.
Okay, I mean, that's another topic for me completely. But I'm going to say that for me, being Spanish, the culture is important. Like some aspects of it, because now coming here and seeing a lot of countries' cultures and stuff, I can recognize that there are some things that I cannot wrap my head around because I've already gone through that period of my time, let's say, like being sexist or whatever. Like maybe I had sexist thoughts when I was like 10. But now if someone is my age and does those things, I'm like, I get the cultural shock. So I'm like, I just cannot. So I need to know, like, the country, what more or less, I mean, people are different. They're not going to be the same. But more or less, like, the values, the government, and all these type of things I need to know. For example, like, if I were to get a Ruski person, now I have all this research because I have met 4 Ruskis this year. So I know everything I need to know. I'm on Duolingo, almost 200 days learning Russian. So I am ready.
But you only know female Russian. And what if you meet a male Russian and you're not prepared for this culture?
Yeah, I don't have information about that. Yeah, I mean, the culture is still the same. Samantha has told me about toxic masculinity in Russia. So I know a little bit. But I think, yeah, but I can do my research before I do it, I guess.
How would you do your research? From Google?
No. Yes. Or like asking friends, being like, okay, what is Sasha doing? Like, what's his deal? And then they would be like, oh, he blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, sure.
You can ask me about Russians anytime. You can even practice Russian with me if you want to. Or Ukrainian.
How often do you think before starting relationships or before marriage, for example, a normal marriage, not a fiction one, how long do you think and what criteria you take into consideration?
Before starting a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for me, the main point is how do I feel around the person. And for example, if it's really going well and I don't feel guilty or shame for something that I did, even if I did something really stupid, if we can make decisions, if we can understand each other, if we can listen each other. So if I feel comfortable around the person and it feels like your home, for me it's a sign that it can be something there. If no, it can be just funny. Or even not funny, but you never know before you try.
Yeah, I was to ask how long would you think shall you marry this person or not, but I think we're not marrying anyone soon.
I mean, not me, for sure. Like, I'm not even considering marriage at this point, but I think, like, I don't know, I would have to take several years for, yeah, because in the beginning you're, like, crazy about this person, then, I don't know, you settle into a more normal, like, your hormones are stabilized. And then it's like, okay, that's what I've read, from what I've read, because I know nothing about this. So, yeah, I would like maybe 2 years, I think it's okay, and then you can get married and have children and all you want. And be a perfect Slavic wife.
Just what I was thinking when I asked, but maybe I didn't specify this, that so you had relationships and then he or you asked him or he asked you to marry. And how long? Like, will you think? And then you told me several years. But okay, just because we didn't.
After the proposition.
Yeah, just we didn't understand.
After, like, when you're engaged.
Yeah, when he asks, for example, will you marry me?
Yeah, the engaged period for me is just, yeah, preparing the wedding. Like, that's it. That's what the engaged period is for.
But before you say yes or no, or would you, the question is, will you say, I need to think, if the process of proposal was super romantic and stuff and everyone is watching, but you feel like telling, I need to think. Will you say yes or I need to think?
Probably the person will kill me if he would listen it, and probably he listen it right now from the leaf. But we were talking at the morning, totally drunk. And I asked, do you want to marry me? Like, ha, 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 you know. And he said, yeah, sure. No problem. I don't mind. And he's a musician. And he said, usually I fell in love with crazy girls, but I want the peace. I want to live in the mountains, my own house alone. So I don't want to marry you. And I'm like, still thinking that he's joking. And I was like, okay, where is my ring? And he made a ring from the guitar string. And it was just so random because I didn't expect anything from it. It was just celebration of someone's birthday that I even did not know the person. And he stand on the knee and he said, do you want to marry me? And I said, yes, in 2 seconds, maybe even in one.
And is he Hungarian?
Yes, but probably it can be not so easy to answer yes, even if you think that you can change, because it's kind of like important thing and you don't want to hurt the person.
Okay, I still have one question to all of this story. Is that so he said he doesn't want to suffer with crazy girls anymore, but he chose you?
No, I'm flabbergasted. But I have a question because, a lot of the Russians have said, like, I will marry you to get the visa in Spain. So, because in Spain it's legal. So it's like, it's very funny. But yeah, do you think about, like, this topic, okay, trying things? Would you try marrying someone for a visa as a try marriage? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, not a real marriage, but you is like trying because you need a visa. Would you do that?
But you are trying what? You are trying
the marriage thing.
Marriage thing, but you are thinking of...
But you're not really in love with this person, so you're trying marriage, like, for the first time to maybe to see if you would like it or not, and then you get the visa. I mean, that's a plus, but yeah.
I think that if you are having such kind of marriage, you will not be like a couple. You will not live together and share household.
I mean, yes, you need to, because for the visa, I think you need to live together and to do all those things, no? So it's like really a tryout marriage.
I think I will not marry a person I don't like, but some kind of trial for marriage, before marriage, yeah, I will go for it. You?
I think it's funny. I would do it. How marriage would be, I think it's super funny.
I think if you don't lie to each other and the person doesn't expect something from you that you don't know, it's totally okay. You just need to discuss before what is this for each other, like for you and for him, her. Because in this case, surprises are not good.
But you can always get divorced, so...
Yeah, but you need to pay to get married and then you need to pay again to get divorced, so...
Very expensive.
You should think before.
So it's waste of money any case. You just need to pragmatically think which way is less waste of money.
You're so practical, Nata. Wow.
I am. So it's been really weird discussion today because we jumped from one topic to another, but everything actually was united, if you didn't notice, under one umbrella. Shall we try it before we bite? Today, you had three girls speaking on this topic, Nadia, Maria and Nata. Thank you, girls, for joining me.
Thank you, Nata.
Thank you. Make right choices.
And thanks to you, dear listener. It was Mushtar FM 89.6. You can re-listen to this program on our Spotify or other podcast platform. Thanks and bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.